south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Hey, a little milestone of sorts. This is show 1300 today, 1,300 Expat Files shows. Who'da thunk, huh? Who'da thunk? So then what have we learned in all that time, all these 12 or 13 years we've been on the air or on the podcast? You tell me, but man, has the world changed in that time? It's a different place altogether. A worse place. You could prove that 1,000 different ways. Funny though, and people have mentioned this, how this show started up exactly when Bitcoin came on the scene. Coincidence? Do you believe in fate or coincidence? Anyway, the other day I was talking to a couple of 60-something expat gringos. They've been living down here in Latin America for 5 or 6 years now. Both divorced, kids out of the house. However, they're doing something very stupid, something that never happened when I was a kid. They've each got kids, 30-something kids, and they send them a check and pay for shit once in a while. They're still enabling their 30-something kids. How about that? Plus, they're always telling me how proud they are they can leave their kids a big chunk in the will. Man, I'll tell you, that rubs me the wrong way. But I don't say anything. What good would it do? Oh, and the grandkids. Yeah, I hear expats talking about their grandkids all the time, too, and how they're going to leave them a big chunk in the will. Man, I keep thinking, what the f*** is wrong with these people? Now, I don't have kids, but that's the last thing I would do if I had them. Enable them. Support them in their 30s and promise to leave them a big chunk in the will. And you know, it's not like I'm completely divorced from the family situation. My sisters all have kids, and they're just entitled little princes and princesses too. But hey, they're entitled to a big chunk in the will, aren't they? Well, you know what? I'd rather die and give it to my cleaning lady and gardener. Oh, strike a nerve maybe? Are you one of those indulgent parents or grandparents? Isn't it funny? You never think you are, but other people sure notice. It's like having chronic halitosis. You don't notice, but everyone else does. But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Talking about the 260-something expat gringos I was having a conversation with. They both have been living down here 5 or 6 years now and loving it. Of course, there are things about it that disagree with them, but compared to how they lived back up in the States, it's very minor stuff. Hey, nothing's perfect, right? You just have to balance the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. Anyway, one of these expats said to me, Johnny, I don't get it. Latinos are always talking about how they love their country. Me amo mi país. They do, and they absolutely mean it. But in the same breath, they toss their McDonald's wrappers on the ground. Yeah, I love my country, all right, but I don't mind trashing it. And the guys, the Latinos, don't mind whipping their schlong out to pee anytime they feel like it. Even wealthy Latinos, you'd think they'd know better. They haven't learned proper trash or pee etiquette either. Many times I'll be driving down the road behind a late model Range Rover, and the Latino in it will roll the window down and toss out his beer bottle or junk food wrappers. Me amo mi país. I love my country, but I don't mind trashing it. Now that'd be a good t-shirt, wouldn't it? And those are the very same shitty habits they bring to the United States when they emigrate there or sneak in. You know, there are things that drive you nuts living here in Latin America. That will never change. That's what gringos talk about when they get together for coffee and such. Things that drive us nuts. One of the top 5 subjects being the terrible drivers and the way people constantly litter. Now, of course, you could chalk it up to the human condition. That's what life was like in the States, I remember, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s when I was a kid. People would toss their wrappers out of car windows all the time. I saw it a million times. That was life in the big city until the cops were told to take it seriously and really started fining people. But the real garbage eye-opener for me happened when I saw the first rainy season here in Latin America. Now, when you're out in the boonies and the rainy season comes, it's just heavy, heavy rain. Good for the soil, good for the crops and all that. But when you're in the big city during the rainy season, when there's a quick downpour, there's often a little flash flood. certain street corners routinely flood out and you can barely drive your car through. That's when you notice how slow things drain. The street grates are definitely big enough. Some are really massive and you wonder why things aren't draining right. What you don't see is that they're all clogged up with wrappers and plastic bottles that have been accumulating and accumulating during that 6 months of dry season. All that junk making its way down below the grates, out of sight, out of mind, till the first signs of the rainy season. Then, all of a sudden, those things float right up out of the gutters. And a few hours later, once the rain has subsided, there are piles of plastic trash all over the gutters and streets. Now, you long-time listeners have heard me say this before. They do design the streets according to the proper international civil engineering codes, the pitch of the streets and the drainage as well. What they don't design for is the massive amount of junk and plastic clogging those drains in the dry season, leading every gringo who's been down here during the rainy season thinking that Latin American civil engineers are idiot retards, or that the engineers in charge weren't really engineers at all, but some politician's retarded family members. Take your pick. Both may be true. Anyway, when people up north, that is, people in the States and Canada, even Europe, when checking out their news feeds and they see there are flash floods in certain big cities in Latin America, when they see cars, kids, and motorcycles floating down the street, they're thinking it's strictly due to the ravages of Mother Nature, that the weather in Latin America is all that more severe. But it's not. Most of that damage could be avoided if not for the carelessness of the local populations. The question is, will it ever change? Yes, but only when the retarded shit-for-brains politicians get serious enough to put out an edict that litterers must be fined. Of course, that won't happen none too soon, especially when you see cops, three on a motorcycle, running red lights, going the wrong way down one-way streets, and littering on street corners, too. Which brings us to this email from a person who I think represents the vast majority of expat gonna-bes and wannabes. I said, gonna-bes and wannabes. People who want to get the hell out of Dodge, but just don't pull the trigger. Most never will because they're just scared. Or maybe they're cowardly weenies with big ideas, but don't follow through on much of anything. Hey, we all know people like that, don't we? So this email comes from JPP. He says, Johnny, that last P stands for procrastinator. He says, Mr. Johnny, I made a big mistake. Should I move to Latin America or lock myself in the house and never come out? Is there still hope for me? Is it that the world is screwed up, or maybe I'm screwed up and living in the wrong continent? Maybe today's reggaeton, rap, and TikTok video influencers keep dragging the world deeper into the trash pile, and I'm caught in it and being dragged deeper and deeper into it too. He says, I'm so disappointed but kind of frozen in my tracks. Everything today seems to be trash. In music, in movies, in social media. I live in the big city, and when I look out my window, young men look like women or gangsters. Women look like prostitutes or super unattractive lesbians. It's so sad. I don't even want to go to a mall, to the cinema, or take a walk in the park anymore. Although, in my mind, I've gotten the hell out of Dodge years ago. In spirit, I've been long gone, but I should have done so physically when I first heard you talking about it about 10 years ago on your show. I guess I'm just one of those chicken shit observers. As much as I want to, I'll never get off my ass. And now, after all these years, my ass is so glued to my lazy boy recliner, I just don't think I have the energy to make the move. I don't want to admit it, but I think I'm doomed to go down with the ship. Though, as for others with a little more adventurous spirit, I say it's a big mistake to sit in your house and watch the world go by. Don't do as I've done. Get off your ass and get the hell out of Dodge, or you'll regret it. Speaking of regrets, many days I regret reading the news feeds. I just read an article entitled, quote, "The Top 20 Female Rappers Who Made Hip-Hop What It Is Today." I read that article. It highlighted 20 of the most uneducated, uncouth, foul-mouthed ghetto trolls that I've ever seen. All of them a disgrace to the female gender. But they're the role models now. Call me old-fashioned, he says, but I don't want to go out of the house and encounter any of those pimps and hoes and pimp and hoe wannabes who glorify guns, sex, tattoos, money, crime, trannies, cars, money for nothing, and cranking out babies for the welfare check. Oh, and Johnny, I'm not just a frustrated old baby boomer dinosaur. I'm 49 and permanently depressed. Signed, Mr. J.P.P. Procrastinator Exemplar. Your email, Mr. J.P.P., is kind of sad. Though, you sound like a pretty educated and reasonable guy. I mean, you sure don't hear idiots on the street using the word exemplar these days. I bet 99% of people under 30 don't even know what it means. Oh, and you'll never hear words like that uttered in a rap video. Mr. JP, you talk about not wanting to go to the cinema anymore to see movies. Let me tell you one of my pet peeves that really drives me nuts. Now, as for me, aside from whatever else is wrong with extremely woke Hollywood, let me tell you why I'm having a really hard time watching Hollywood movies these days. Even the old guard traditional Hollywood stars and directors, etc., who produced in their past really great movies, really great stuff, they've caved into the wokeness as well. Nowadays, you go see a movie with a really iconic old-school star, let's say Denzel Washington, Kurt Russell, Harrison Ford, Michael Douglas, you know, some of the old-school stars that always put out a good product. Nowadays, their movies are just peppered with vulgar, trashy, hip-hop and rap soundtrack songs. Now, normally, those foul-mouthed street rappers, they use so much street slang and are so incoherent, I don't really understand what they're saying, so you can kind of block it out. And that's a good thing. But let's say you're watching the movie at home and you click on the translation button because you want to read the transcriptions in English or Spanish. I find myself doing that sometimes. How about you? Anyway, when you do that, they transcribe the rap or reggaeton music soundtrack lyrics too. That's when you see what they're really trying to say. Some of the most foul and horrible lyrics imaginable. Words that in my day would have got my ass whooped by my ma, my dad, and got my mouth washed out with soap. It amazes me that movies get away with that crap. It seems to me just unbelievable how even some of our old-time movie icons permit that vulgar crap to dirty up and contaminate their music scores. Worse yet, those horrible songs with their horrible, infantile, imbecilic lyrics win big at huge award ceremonies. It's just inconceivable to think that's how the world has flipped. It seems nobody, except maybe those folks at the Daily Wire and Jordan Peterson, Professor Gad Saad and Eric and Brett Weinstein and a few others, have got the balls to stand up to this stuff. Talk about lowest common denominator, worse yet. They even play imbecilic, idiotic rap and hip-hop songs and that Bad Bunny reggaeton crap at big-time political rallies. I can see why that if you have above-average intelligence and you question things. When you're watching the world get dumbed down, watching the world as you know it unravel, it can kill your desire, stunt your creativity, cause depression, and create a feeling of futility. I can see why, even if you were a staunch gringo gonna-be or wannabe, like our emailer Mr. J.P.P. started out many years ago. If a long enough time period elapsed and you didn't pull the trigger, I can see how most people would just throw in the towel. So I guess that's why only maybe 10% of gringo gonna-bes and wannabes ever make it down here to Latin America, ever get that Plan B going. You know, speaking of getting that Plan B going, if you don't get it going pretty soon now, you will be shit out of luck. The rules are changing all the time. You should at least try to get one foot established in a Latin American country. That's what a Plan B is all about. Having a Plan B means having a network that you can fall back on when the shit does hit the fan up by where you live. Easiest way to do that is get the proper network going, is come down to my expat insider seminar. I got one coming up in March, from March 8th through March 15th, 2024. It's a week long. We'll be in two different countries, Guatemala and El Salvador. Includes 8 hotel nights, too, and a guaranteed 3 to 5 year head start on your Plan B. It'll be a boots on the ground experience you'll never forget. Just go to expatplanb.com and click on the seminar link for all the details and sign up info. And of course, repeat offenders get $1,000 off the early bird discount price. Which brings us to this email from Arnie. He says, Johnny, on a previous show, you were talking about Bitcoin and FU money. He says, I think by now most people know what that is. On a previous show, you were also talking about lottery winners. Well, I've always been a very average guy, a 5, right down the middle. But years ago, I won a small lottery jackpot, about $300,000. At the time, about 20 years ago, it was considered FU money. That $300,000 was worth probably close to $1 million in today's funny money dollars. FU money for a single guy like me. Anyway, being single when I won that jackpot, and it wasn't really the Mega Millions by today's standards, I could have quit my job. I decided to keep it, though, because I like working. Now, I said I'm a very average-looking guy right down the middle, but something changed when I won that jackpot. The younger ladies in the office started getting very friendly. Yep, money made me sexy. Sort of confused me for a while, till I realized it wasn't the money that made me sexy. It was my money that made the ladies in the office suddenly ambitious. Even the ladies that before that paid me almost no mind at all. Another thing, Johnny, when you win a jackpot, suddenly you're meeting a different class of people. You meet more and more millionaires. Money managers and finance guys, too. People with whom you'd never would have come in contact with before are now suddenly becoming your friends and acquaintances. I suppose that's why so many people run out of their lottery money after a couple of years. Here's what I've learned, though, some 20 years after the fact. If before you won the lottery, you weren't good with women, after you win, you'll probably chase women and then you'll run out of money. Another lesson learned. Alcohol and money make people sexier and more interesting, but they both wear off. Another thing I've noticed is that after meeting several millionaires, most of them seem to have a lot of friends and acquaintances, but are really pretty much alone. I also noticed that older guys with big bank accounts are often in poor health. Even though they fly around, go to lots of resorts, and belong to health clubs, and seem to have nice tans, the closer you get, the closer you look at them, the more you can see they're really not in good health. Stress kills, and even though the people I know with big money seem to be relaxed and well-composed, most all of them have stomach, gut, and digestive problems. Is it stress or bad diet? A combination of both, usually. Then Arnie says, my advice, Johnny, if you win a lottery or suddenly inherit FU money, number one, shut up about it. However, as much as you try, word will leak out. And being a local celebrity will be fun for a while, but that won't last. It gets old fast. At that point, to avoid the usual traps, leave town or leave the country and don't come back. Because if you stay, you'll never know who your friends are. One last piece of advice. When you do move away, wherever you land, keep a low profile, keep your mouth shut. All right, Arnie, thanks for that. All good advice. I'll be sure to look you up when I win the Powerball. You know, it's kind of odd. I've gotten emails from a few people now who've won the lottery. Never me, though, because I don't play. Hell, I know quite a few people who won small amounts. My brother won $5,000 once and $20,000 once in the Illinois lottery. Then there's my Canadian ex-buddy, who I met in Costa Rica, won more than $1 million in the lottery, Canadian lottery. He was totally useless as a businessman. I found that out way too late. But again, he followed Arnie's rule, kept his mouth shut, so I didn't find out until I realized it was lottery money he had and was a business dunce. Anyway, I've met some guys who've won certain amounts in different lotteries. Some of them became expats. But oddly enough, I never met a woman who won the lottery. Half a dozen guys, but no women. When women win, I wonder what their stories are like. Are they as stupid with their winnings as guys are? You know, I mentioned this to expat Eddie a while back. He said, Johnny, when an American woman wins the lottery, I bet there's lots and lots of forthcoming plastic surgery. However, he said, a Latina in Latin America winning a lottery, she'd most certainly buy a house, then a car, then loads of plastic surgery. All right, changing gears. You know, occasionally I run into a gringo expat who used to work for government, retired, you know, on various U.S. government pensions. And to be very honest with you, lots of them, lots of ex-government workers are not so very bright. And you wonder, why are they down here in Latin America? Well, almost all of them I've found that are permanent expats down here. They didn't have some kind of existential or philosophical get-out-of-dodge epiphany. They're living down here now permanently because they were once stationed in Latin America, maybe at a U.S. embassy or on government contract work. So they saw firsthand just how great it is to live down here and the gringo advantage that comes with it. The thing is, I don't think I've ever met an ex-government worker who's now a permanent expat, who just came down on his lonesome, just curious, and just decided on his own he's going to have a plan B and get the hell out of Dodge. That doesn't seem to fit the profile. Nope, almost every single former government worker expat has not had that kind of initiative. They seem to be here almost exclusively because they were exposed to Latin America in their jobs. Now, to give you an idea how mundane and mediocre some of these guys are, just yesterday I was talking to FBI Mike. Remember I told you I know a gringo expat, retired FBI guy, living on three government pensions here in Latin America. FBI pension, military pension, and federal air marshal pension. I recall him saying he was pulling down something like 140 or 60 grand a year. Anyway, yesterday I ran into him and ex-corrupt Boston cop Bob and another gringo expat. And I said to Bob, did you get the link to the article I sent you on the Signal app? He said, yeah, I got it. And then FBI Mike, who was sitting right there, said, Signal app, what's that? You're not on WhatsApp? I said, WhatsApp? Are you kidding? Yeah, I have it all right for plumbers and electricians, doctor's appointments and stuff, but I never use it for personal things because, well, it's owned by that idiot Facebook zombie, Mark Zuckerberg. And if you're on Facebook or WhatsApp, they own all your data and are using it all the time. That's how they make their money, selling you and pieces of you. They collect your data and sell you. You are the product. Then FBI Mike said, oh, really? WhatsApp's secure and encrypted. I said, Mike, you're not paying attention. There have been dozens and dozens of breaches and cases of WhatsApp data harvesting. Hell, you're FBI. You should know that. And he said, former FBI, been out of there 6 or 7 years now. But think of it. A former FBI guy doesn't at all question the security of putting all his data, everything, on WhatsApp. That's what I mean. Government workers in whatever branch of service are generally not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree. So then why am I bringing this up? Well, some time ago, FBI Mike and Bob were talking about how they both sent their DNA samples to 23andMe. You know what that is, right? That's that famous DNA testing company, you know, where they'll tell you certain things about your genetic heritage, ancestry, and all that. In fact, my brother did it a couple of years back and found out that he, that means me and my family, my immediate family, are 1% or 1.5% Neanderthal. Not very comforting news, but hey, you get the genetic hand you were dealt, right? Ooga booga. Anyway, you may or may have not sent your DNA to 23andMe, and you may or may have not noticed that the BBC reported last year the personal information of 14,000 individuals was hacked from that site. Now, that's just a tiny fraction of their 14 million customer base. At least that's what their base was back then. But just this month, the real truth came out. The hack that initially they said was only 14,000 people turned out to be 6.9 million customers. So the massive data breach has affected over half of all the clients that registered for 23andMe. Now the company says the hack exposed pictures, displayed names, genetic data of affiliated family members, etc., etc. Now you might be thinking, so what? What are hackers going to do with my info? Well, 23andMe does more than give customers reports about their family trees. It offers genetic health risk testing for chronic diseases and cancers, and also has a research arm where customers can opt into clinical research programs. That means half of the 14 million people on that site have their sensitive medical and genetic information and more floating around online. Imagine what that might do to you or your kids' job prospects or insurance coverage prospects if you happen to have a recessive or dominant genetic flaw in the family. And you know what? When I mentioned this to Bob and FBI Mike, they seemed concerned, seemed outraged for about a minute. And then something else popped up on their telephone screens. I mean, that's what they're always doing, sitting around swiping on their telephones. And when you're constantly online, there's always something more interesting to grab your attention. So after about 30 seconds of righteous indignation, they were back swiping online again. Oh, speaking of hacks, remember that giant Equifax credit bureau hack last year? They hacked 150 million Americans who had their credit data stored there. Hackers walked away with millions of virtual pages of data, stealing data from 150 million Americans, their identities, and their credit ratings. Man, you better believe insurance companies are going to be buying that info on the dark web for years to come. After all, insurance companies are always looking for reasons to deny your claims. But seriously, insurance companies, employees, prospective spouses, etc., with access to all that genetic information will make for a horrible and scary future. Wait a minute. Some people say we're living in a horrible, scary future right now. Well, you guys up in the States and Canada and Europe might be, but the lucky ones who've got a plan B going are living down here in Latin America. And no matter what complaints we might have, they're piddlingly small ones as compared to the ones you guys have up north. And to think, all the same people who are so worried about the COVID-iot vaccine, the boosters, and getting microchipped and all that, are some of the same people who thought it was a great idea to send their little saliva swab of DNA to 23andMe. And they paid them, what was it, $100 or $200 for the privilege? And now that info's been hacked and is all over the net. When you think of the countless stories of companies being hacked, Facebook, Target, Home Depot, T-Mobile, Sprint, AOL, Yahoo, etc. It's a sad, sad world that we're living in, but we've got no one to blame but ourselves. Hell, if you're stupid enough to upload your data, your passport, your credit cards, your bank stuff and personal correspondence to some third-party site who exists solely to sell your data and advertise to you because that's how they make their money. Well, it's hard to have sympathy for someone who cries foul when their data's been compromised. Meanwhile, government stupidity knows no bounds and rages on in places like Ecuador. I'm looking at an article that just came out in Spanish now from El Mercurio, the Mercury, my favorite South American newspaper and wire service. It says medical units of the Ministerio de Salud, that's Minister of Health, are promoting vaccinations to treat COVID and viruses of the respiratory tract. Come one, come all. The Vicente Corral Mososco Hospital has announced free flu and free COVID-iot vaccination booster shots. And they've got a photo here of fools lining up for their COVID-iot shots, because fools will line up for anything that's free. Meanwhile, you know, down here in Latin America, fishing's a big thing, especially deep sea fishing. And you know, a strange thing happened the other day. There was a charter fishing boat with a couple of American lawyers on it, and one of them fell overboard. As he was swimming back towards the boat, a gigantic great white shark raced right at him, jaws wide open. Then suddenly, the shark stopped, turned away, and disappeared. Just then, the captain turned to the other lawyer on board and said, "Wow, do you see that? An act of God." And the lawyer said to the captain, "Nope, professional courtesy."
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.